Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Thank you for tuning in to radio.lds.org. This is the Mormon Channel's Q&A. You send us your questions. We take the opportunity to answer those questions the best that we can. If you have a question for us, you're always welcome to contact us. You can email us at radio@ldschurch.org. We received an email from Heather from Nebraska, and Heather writes, "Please help me understand what I need to do to be forgiven. How do I repent?" That's a great question, Heather. Repentance is never easy, but it's definitely worth it. Repentance is one of the first principles of the gospel and is essential for our temporal and eternal happiness. It's much more than just acknowledging wrongdoing. It's a change of mind and heart that'll give us a fresh view about God, about ourselves, and about the world. It includes turning away from sin and turning to God for forgiveness. It is motivated by our love for God and the sincere desire to obey His commandments. Elder Neil L. Anderson of the October 2009 General Conference talks about what it means to repent.
For most, repentance is more a journey than a one-time event. It is not easy. To change is difficult. It requires running into the wind, swimming upstream. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Repentance is turning away from some things, such as dishonesty, pride, anger, and impure thoughts, and turning toward other things such as kindness, unselfishness, patience, and spirituality. It is returning toward God.
Elder Neil L. Anderson. We're talking about what we need to do to be forgiven and how do we repent. The Lord has declared that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Our sins make us unclean, unworthy to return and dwell in the presence of our Heavenly Father. They also bring us anguish to our soul in this life. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven has provided a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. Jesus Christ suffered the penalty for our sins so that we can be forgiven if we sincerely repent. As we repent and rely on His saving grace, we will be cleansed from sin. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf in the April 2007 General Conference said the atonement is the reason we can repent.
We acknowledge that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we also declare with firmness that repentance and forgiveness can be as real as sin. The atonement of Jesus Christ causes each person to be accountable for his or her individual sin. We will overcome the consequences of individual sin by claiming the blessings and benefits of the atonement. President David O. McKay said, "Every principle and ordinance of the gospel of Jesus Christ is significant and important, but there is none more essential to the salvation of the human family than the divine and eternally operative principle of repentance. For salvation cometh to none, except it be through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." It is not repentance per se that saves men. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. It is not by our sincere and honest change of behavior alone that we are saved, but by grace that we are saved after all we can do. True repentance, however, is the condition required so that God's forgiveness can come into our lives. True repentance makes a brilliant day out of the darkest night.
Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf, you're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A here at radio.lds.org. If you have a question or comment about this program, you can contact us by email by sending us an email at radio@ldschurch.org. Heather from Nebraska wrote, "Please help me understand what I need to do to be forgiven. How do I repent?" Heather, sometimes repentance can be a painful process, but it can lead to forgiveness and lasting peace. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." In this dispensation, the Lord has promised, he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven, and I, the Lord, remember them no more. That from Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verse 42. Repentance includes the following elements: faith in our Heavenly Father and in Jesus Christ. The power of sin is great. To become free from it, we must turn to our Heavenly Father, pray in faith, and act as he asks us to. Satan may try to convince us that we are not worthy to pray, that our Heavenly Father is so displeased with us that he'll never hear our prayers. This is a lie. Our Father in heaven is always ready to help us if we will come to him with a repentant heart. He has the power to heal us and to help us triumph over sin. Repentance is an act of faith in Jesus Christ, an acknowledgement of the power of his atonement. We can be forgiven only on his terms. As we gratefully recognize his atonement and his power to cleanse us from sin, we're able to exercise our faith unto repentance. Elder Russell M. Nelson in the April 2007 General Conference tells us the Greek meaning of the word repent.
The doctrine of repentance is much broader than a dictionary's definition. When Jesus said repent, his disciples recorded that command in the Greek language with the verb metanoeo. This powerful word has great significance. The prefix meta means change. The suffix relates to four important Greek terms: nous, meaning the mind; gnos, meaning knowledge; pneuma, meaning spirit; and panoi, meaning breath. Thus, when Jesus said repent, he asked us to change our mind, knowledge, and spirit, even our breath. A prophet explained that such a change in one's breath is to breathe with grateful acknowledgement of him who grants each breath. King Benjamin said, "If he should serve him who has created you and is preserving you from day to day by lending you breath from one moment to another, I say if he should serve him with all your whole souls, yet ye would be unprofitable servants." Yes, the Lord has commanded us to repent, to change our ways, to come unto him and be more like him. This requires a total change. Alma so taught his son. "Learn wisdom in thy youth," he said. "Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever." To repent fully is to convert completely to the Lord Jesus Christ and his holy work. Alma taught that concept when he posed these questions. "I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts?" That change comes when we are born again, converted and focused upon our journey to the kingdom of God.
Elder Russell M. Nelson from the April 2007 General Conference. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. If you have an email or a question, not only about the gospel, but maybe even about this program, feel free to contact us by email. You can send an email to radio@ldschurch.org. Heather from Nebraska wrote, "Please help me understand what I need to do to be forgiven. How do I repent?" We're talking about the elements of repentance. Sorrow for sin is next on our list. In order to be forgiven, we must first acknowledge within ourselves that we have sinned. If we are striving to live the gospel, such an acknowledgement will lead us to godly sorrow, which according to 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "Worketh repentance to salvation." If we are striving to live the gospel, such an acknowledgement will lead us to godly sorrow, which according to 2 Corinthians 7:10, worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow does not come because of the natural consequences of sin or because of fear of punishment. Rather, it comes from the knowledge that we have, through our actions, displeased our Heavenly Father and our Savior. When we experience godly sorrow, we have a sincere desire for change and a willingness to submit to every requirement for forgiveness. Elder Neil A. Maxwell in the October 1991 General Conference talks about that there can be no real repentance without personal suffering.
After recognition, real remorse floods the soul. This is a godly sorrow, not merely the sorrow of the world, nor the sorrowing of the damned when we can no longer take happiness in sin. False remorse, instead, is like fondling our failings. In ritual regret, we mourn our mistakes, but without mending them. There can be no real repentance without personal suffering and the passage of sufficient time for the needed cleansing and turning. This is much more than merely waiting until the feelings of remorse subside. Misery, like adversity, can have its special uses. No wonder chastening is often needed until the turning is really underway. Real remorse quickly brings forth positive indicators, fruits meet for repentance. In process of time, these fruits bud, blossom, and ripen.
Elder Neil A. Maxwell, you're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. Thank you so much for your emails and for your letters. If you'd like to get a hold of us, and if you have a question for the Mormon Channel, you can email us at radio@ldschurch.org. Heather from Nebraska wrote, "Please help me understand what I need to do to be forgiven. How do I repent?" We are listing some of the elements of repentance. Confession. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy." That from Proverbs 28, verse 13. Essential to forgiveness is the willingness to disclose fully to our Heavenly Father all that we have done. We must kneel before Him in humble prayer, acknowledging our sins. We must confess our shame and guilt, and then plead for help. Serious transgressions, such as violations of the law of chastity, may jeopardize a person's membership in the church. Therefore, such sins need to be confessed to both the Lord and His priesthood representatives in the church. This is done under the care of a bishop or branch president and possibly a stake or mission president, who serve as watchmen and judges in the church. While only the Lord can forgive sins, these priesthood leaders play a critical role in the process of repentance. They will keep confessions confidential and help throughout the process of repentance. In the October 2000 General Conference, Elder Richard G. Scott speaks of confession as a step of repentance.
To feel sorrow and to be motivated to confess is a proper beginning, but it is not sufficient. When confession is voluntary, the action required for repentance is greatly simplified. It does no good for an individual to stonewall efforts of a judge in Israel to encourage repentance by denying that a real transgression has occurred or by otherwise being unyielding. Lehi taught, "He offereth himself a sacrifice for sin to answer the ends of the law and to all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered." There must be humility and sorrow. I suggest that you read President Spencer W. Kimball's inspired book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. It continues to help the faithful avoid the pitfalls of serious transgression. It likewise is an excellent handbook for those who have committed serious errors and want to find their way back. Read the last two chapters first to appreciate the full miracle of forgiveness before reading anything else. If you have repented from serious transgressions and mistakenly believe that you'll always be a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God, learn that is not true. The Savior said, "Behold, he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven. And I, the Lord, remember them no more. By this you may know if a man repenteth of his sins. Behold, he will confess them and forsake them. Find encouragement in the lives of Alma the Younger and the sons of Mosiah. They were tragically wicked, yet their full repentance and service qualified them to be considered as noble as righteous Captain Moroni. To you who have sincerely repented, yet continue to feel the burden of guilt, realize that to continue to suffer for sins when there's been proper repentance and forgiveness of the Lord is prompted by the master of deceit. Lucifer will encourage you to continue to relive the details of past mistakes, knowing that such thoughts can hamper your progress. Thus, he attempts to tie strings to the mind and body so that he can manipulate you like a puppet to discourage personal achievement. I testify that Jesus Christ paid the price and will satisfy the demands of justice for all who are obedient to his teachings. Thus, full forgiveness is granted, and the distressing effects of sin need no longer persist in one's life. Alma conquered thoughts of past unworthiness by remembering the mercy of the Redeemer. He marveled, "Behold, he did not exercise his justice upon us, but in his great mercy hath brought us the salvation of our souls." When memory of past mistakes encroaches upon your mind, turn your thoughts to the Redeemer and to the miracle of forgiveness. With the renewal that comes through him, your depression, suffering will be replaced by peace, joy, and gratitude for his love. How difficult it must be for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, to see so many needlessly suffer because his gift of repentance is ignored. It must pain him deeply to see the pointless agony, both in this life and beyond the veil, that accompanied the unrepentant sinner after all he did, so that we need not suffer.
Elder Richard G. Scott, the abandonment of sin is another element. Although confession is an essential element of repentance, it's not enough. The Lord has said in Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verse 43, "By this ye may know if a man repenteth of his sins. Behold, he will confess them and forsake them." We must maintain an unyielding permanent resolve that we will never repeat the transgression. When we keep this commitment, we will never experience the pain of that sin again. We must flee immediately from any compromising situation. If a certain situation causes us to sin or may cause us to sin, we must leave. We cannot linger in temptation and expect to overcome sin. President James E. Faust in the October 2007 General Conference shares a story told by Elder Marion D. Hanks.
Some may say, "I am a simple person. I have no stature or position. I'm new in the church. My talents and abilities are limited. My contribution is little." Or they may say, "I am too old to change. I have already lived my life. Why should I try?" It is never too late to change. Discipleship does not come from positions of prominence, wealth, or advanced learning. The disciples of Jesus came from all walks of life. However, discipleship does require us to forsake evil, transgression, and enjoy what President Kimball has called the miracle of forgiveness. This can only come through repentance, which means that we forsake sin and resolve each day to be followers of truth and righteousness. As Jesus taught, "What manner of men ought ye to be? Verily I say unto you, even as I am."
That's President James E. Faust. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A at radio.lds.org. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please contact us by email at radio@ldschurch.org. Heather from Nebraska writes, please help me understand what I need to do to be forgiven. How do I repent? We've been talking about the elements of repentance. Next, restitution. We must restore as far as possible all that has been damaged by our actions, whether that is someone's property or someone's good reputation. Willing restitution shows the Lord that we will do all we can to repent. President Spencer W. Kimball in the April 1974 General Conference talks about the miracle of forgiveness. He says, quote, true repentance incorporates within it a washing, a purging, a changing of attitudes, a reappraising of strengthening towards self-mastery. It is not a simple matter for one to transform his life overnight, nor to change attitudes in a moment, nor to rid himself in a hurry of unworthy companions. True repentance must include restitution. There are sins for which restitution can be made, such as theft, but there are other sins that cannot yield to restitution, such as murder or adultery or incest. One of the requisites for repentance is living the commandments of the Lord. Perhaps few people realize that as an important element, though one may have abandoned a particular sin or even confessed it to his bishop. Yet he is not repentant if he has not developed a life of action and service and righteousness, which the Lord has indicated to be very necessary. He that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. Close quote. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. We are going through the elements of repentance, righteous living. It's not enough to simply try to resist evil or empty our lives of sin. We must fill our lives with righteousness and engage in activities that bring spiritual power. We must immerse ourselves in the Scriptures and pray daily for the Lord to give us strength beyond our own. At times, we should fast for special blessings. Full obedience brings the complete power of the gospel into our lives, including increased strength to overcome our weaknesses. This obedience includes actions we might not initially consider part of repentance, such as attending meetings, paying tithing, giving service, and forgiving others. The Lord has promised in Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 32, "He that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven." President Ezra Taft Benson in the April 1986 General Conference shares his closing thoughts in a talk called Cleansing the Inner Vessel.
My beloved brethren and sisters, as we cleanse the inner vessel, there will have to be changes made in our own personal lives, our families, and in the church. The proud do not change to improve, but defend their position by rationalization. Repentance means change, and it takes a humble person to change. But we can do it. I'm sure we can. We have made some wonderful strides in the past. We will be lengthening our stride in the future. To do so, we must first cleanse the inner vessel by awaking and arising, being morally clean, using the Book of Mormon in a manner so that God will lift the condemnation, and finally, conquering pride by humbling ourselves. We can do it. I know we can. That we will do so is my prayer for all of us. God bless you all. The good you have done and will be doing, I leave my blessings on all of you and do so in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
President Ezra Taft Benson. Heather from Nebraska, thank you so much for your email. Hopefully we were able to answer your questions. If not, feel free to contact us at radio@ldschurch.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel. Coming up next, another classic conference talk here on the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.